He gestured grandly at the others.
Take a look around. See if there's something here that takes your fancy. You stay with me, boy.
He waited for the others to move away, and then turned to Owen and lowered his voice.
Fill me in. How big is your army? How many men am I going to have to supply guns for?
Owen looked at him blankly for a moment.
I don't actually have an army, sir. It's just myself and my associates here. Our ship crashed not far from here. It's a wreck. We're all there is, sir.
Giles pursed his lips and nodded slowly.
Deerstalker luck. Always bad. Fortunately for you, boy, I have a ship. How big a force have you got on your tail? I assume the Empire was right behind you when you jumped to come here?
Yes, sir. Two Imperial Starcruisers.
Giles looked at him with a certain amount of respect for the first time.
Well, now that's more like it. Don't worry, we'll be gone long before they can get here. Tell me about your friends. Are they good fighters, reliable?
The best. Hazel Dark's a pirate and clone legger. Ruby Journey's a bounty hunter. Jack Random's a professional rebel. And the disturbing-looking one is Tobias Moon. He is an augmented man.
A cyborg? They were still trying to make that work when I left. Is he any good in a fight?
Owen grinned. Moon kicks ass. Anybody's ass. But I wouldn't turn your back on him too often. Augmented men often have their own agendas. And all of my people are good fighters.
Can I depend on them? Will they follow orders?
Maybe. After all, they're outlaws like me. And like you. Convince them that it's in their best interests to work with you, and they will. But don't just give them orders and expect them to snap to attention. They don't have much love or respect for authority in general, and Aristos in particular. But they're good people. Mostly.
And what about you, Owen Deathstalker, the historian? Can you fight?
I do all right. I've been trained by the best, and I have the boost. I can take care of myself.
The boost? That's another thing they were trying to make work when I left. You're full of surprises, kinsman. Unfortunately, I now have one for you. According to my computers, an Imperial starship has just dropped into orbit around Chandrakor. The standings shielded from their sensors, unless they've radically improved since my day. But your wrecked ship isn't. It won't take them long to spot it and send some heavily armed people down to check for survivors. I've downloaded your AI into my systems. Pretty sophisticated, but not half as smart as it thinks it is.
Oz, are you there?
Where else would I be? You should see the antiquated system they've dumped me in. Wouldn't surprise me if this junk ran on steam power. Give me a week or two and I'll be running things around here.
Behave yourself. We're guests here. We'll talk later. For now, keep your eyes and ears open and make yourself useful.
Got it.
Owen looked at Giles. He's been with me a long time. He's a pain in the ass, but he's good at what he does.
I heard that.
Shut up, Oz.
Tell me, Owen. Why did you come here looking for me?
My only hope for survival is to mount a rebellion against the Empress. And for that, I need the Dark Void device. With Giles's eyes boring into his, it never even occurred to Owen to lie. Do you still have it?
No, but I know where it is. I only ever used it once, and 1,000 stars blinked out in a moment, leaving nothing but darkness. The Dark Void. Thousands of inhabited planets were left without suns. Billions upon billions of people died. That's a lot of ghosts for one man to live with. I'd done many questionable things in my time as Warrior Prime, and come to terms with them. But that was too much, even for me. I'd sworn an oath to protect and preserve the Empire, not destroy it piece by piece for the pleasure of others. I created the device almost by accident, while working on something else. I was the only one who could operate it. That made it my responsibility. So I did the only responsible thing left to me, I took the device and ran. Hid myself here, where no one would ever find me, except family. And just as a safeguard, I stashed the device somewhere else. I left it in the heart of the madness maze, on the cold corpse of the wolfling world, deep in the dark void.
Owen looked at him for a long moment, searching for something to say. The wolflings were a part of legend, the first genetically engineered human beings. They were supposed to be living killing machines, the perfect soldiers, but unfortunately the Empire did its work too well. The wolflings were unbeatable. The Empire grew scared of what it had created and wiped out the wolflings while they were still trapped on their planet. It was lost to history when it became part of the Dark Void. No wonder no one had ever found the device if it was hidden there. Few ships had ever crossed the rim into the Dark Void and come back to tell of it. We need the device. Our rebellion hasn't a hope in hell without it. Jells looked at him steadily.
And is your rebellion really so important?
You've been asleep a long time.
Hazel was suddenly there beside them.
You don't know how bad things have got. If you're rich or an aristo or connected, you can have anything, do anything, and no one can stop you. You can destroy lives, and no one can make you pay.
They use and discard us, and no one cares. I fought the Empire all my adult life. Fought and bled on 100 worlds, only to see my war for truth and justice come to nothing. They have the ships and the weapons and the armies, and all we have is right on our side. It's not enough.
Giles looked at Ruby Journey. She was standing quietly at the back, arms folded. She looked bored.
What about you, Bounty Hunter? Don't you have anything to say to me? No appeals to my better nature.
Ruby looked at him calmly.
I made a good living hunting down the Empire's enemies. Outlaws. Now I am one. Funny how things change.
What changed you?
Ruby smiled.
Hazel's my friend. She hasn't the sense to come in out of the rain, but sometimes the rain follows you no matter where you go. The Empire wants her dead, I want her alive. So to hell with the Empire. Besides, I was promised as much loot as I can carry if we win, and you'd be surprised how much I can carry when I put my mind to it.
Hazel smiled at her.
Ruby, I never knew you cared so much.
Don't get cocky. If the reward on you had been just a little higher, things might have turned out differently.
Giles turned back to Owen.
If I led you to the device, what would you do with it? It's not exactly a subtle weapon. You could use it to destroy whatever planet the Empress is currently using as a home world, but only by destroying 1,000 other worlds with it. Could you do that? Create another Dark Void in the heart of the Empire?
You used it.
And look what it did to me. I thought I had good reason. I was wrong. What about you, kinsman? What price will you pay to win?
I don't know. I've seen enough killing already, and none of it for a good enough reason. The young girl lay crying in the bloody Mistworld snow, her legs crippled forever by his blade. Perhaps all I really want is to see the device destroyed before the Empress can get her hands on it. She wouldn't hesitate to use it. I don't know, Giles. I can't make a decision like this. I'm just a historian, a hoarder of old books and records, not a warrior or a revolutionary. Ask Jack or Hazel. Ask anyone but me.
That's what I said. But in the end, I did what I thought I had to. And so will you when your time comes. I'll take you to the device. And let us all pray we get there before the Empire does.
You have a ship?
Oh, yes, I have a ship.
How long will it take to power it up? It's got to be in one hell of a state after spending so many centuries in mothballs.
My computers began bringing it back to life the moment I awakened. I always knew I might have to leave in a hurry.
Better be a fast ship. Got a lot of determined people on our trail, most especially including the one in orbit.
And I must beg passage of you.
Giles looked at the augmented man interestedly.
My people were created on the lost world of Hayden. It stayed lost because that was not its true name,
and because it was lost in the dark void. Before my creators found and transformed its interior, it was called the Wolfling World.
Now that's spooky. The Dark Void device and the sleeping Haydenman army, both on the same planet. What are the chances of that?
Too damn small for my liking. If I didn't know better, I'd swear my father arranged it. It's the kind of thing he'd do.
It's far more likely that I didn't hide my trail as carefully as I thought I had. And if someone found the Wolfling World once, someone else might find it again. I think it's time we got moving.
Sounds good to me. Random looked round at the armory almost wistfully. You've got some wonderful toys here, Deathstalker.
I could have used a collection like this many times. Who are these supposed to be used against?
The same people I used the device on. There was a rebellion against the Empire. Widespread, well-funded, lots of weapons, and men to use them. I destroyed them all in a moment. They weren't even offered a chance to surrender.
Wait a minute. That's not what it says in the official histories. The device was only used after every other means had been exhausted. The Empire itself was in danger. That's why they used the device.
Not they. Me. My finger on the button. There was no warning, no negotiations, and no danger to the Empire.
So why did you do it?
He was my emperor.
Giles was quiet for a long moment, and nobody said anything. Finally, he shrugged and smiled at Owen.
Winners write the histories, kinsman. You should know that.
On the Star Cruiser Dauntless, orbiting Chandrakor, Captain Silence studied his bridge viewscreen thoughtfully. According to his sensor probes, the whole planet was overrun with homicidal life forms wherever you looked. No civilizations, past or present. Except for a certain crashed starship, currently on the viewscreen. Investigator Frost stood at his side, silent and disapproving. She'd wanted to lead the away team that was investigating the wreck, and was still sulking because he'd said no. He'd been tempted. If anyone could survive the slaughterhouse down there, it was Frost. But if the outlaws got to another ship, the Dauntless might have to leave in a hurry to go after it, even if it meant abandoning the away team, which meant he could only send down those people he could afford to lose. He sighed and made himself concentrate on the voice accompanying the viewscreen images.
The ship is a wreck. Extensive damage before and after landing. No trace of any crew. Some human blood, not enough to be significant. The star drive is missing. Cut out very neatly. Professional. Somebody beat us to her, Captain.
Understood, Lieutenant. Continue your investigation. Captain out. He turned away from the screen to look at Frost. What do you think, Investigator? Could there be people, even bases on this planet, that the Empire doesn't know about?
Possible, Captain. They could be shielded against our sensors. That would require a great deal of power, though. Perhaps they live underground. It would make sense, given the surface conditions.
Captain! This is surveillance. We're picking something up on the planet's surface. Their shielding just dropped.
Silence and Frost looked at the viewscreen again. The crashed ship had vanished, replaced by the image of an immense stone castle.
What the hell is that?
A castle, sometimes called a standing, similar to those of the Empire aristocracy 9 centuries ago. They were forbidden to anyone else on pain of death. I think we can now be pretty sure of what happened to the outlaws and their star drive.
How far is it from the wreck site?
0.5 mile, Captain. The away team would be butchered before they got half that distance without extra equipment.
He's right. You're going to need a full company of Marines, armed and shielded to the teeth, and someone extremely experienced to lead them.
All right, Investigator, you've made your point. Silence couldn't help smiling at her. You can lead the away team this time. Make the necessary arrangements.
It's time to go. I've dropped the standing shields to divert the extra power to the takeoff. I never really thought I'd leave this planet again, but I'd hoped. There's always hope.
How far is it to your ship? Owen had a horrible suspicion his ancestor was about to get all sentimental on him, and he didn't think he could cope with that just at the moment. It better not be too far. With your shields down, we're a sitting target for the Star Cruiser up above.
Oh, it's not far. Not far at all. Computers, begin liftoff procedures.
Owen looked blankly at his ancestor as the room began to shake and rumble around him. Far below, under his feet, he could hear the building roar of mighty engines.
Wait a minute. Wait just a damn minute. Your ship is part of the Standing? We're in it now?
Not part. The Standing is the ship, and vice versa.
We're going into hyperspace in a stone castle that's been sitting around for 9 centuries?
We built to last in my day. Talk to your computer if you want more details.
Oz, are you still there? Talk to me.
Yes, I'm still here. You wouldn't believe how cramped it is. Some of these systems are positively prehistory. I can't believe I'm supposed to live in something this small. There isn't room to swing a neuron.
Talk to me about the castle, Oz, or I swear I'll reprogram you with a blunt spoon. Is it really a starship?
Oh, yes. A bit slow and stately, but it'll get you there. Hang on to your hat, Owen. It's going to be rather a bumpy takeoff.
On the bridge of the Dauntless, Silence and Frost watched speechlessly as the last Standing of the Deathstalker clan tore itself out of the ground and leapt up into the air. Powerful energies roared around it. The jungle was flattened for miles around by the backblast, but the castle rose into the air as smoothly as any starship.
I don't believe it.
A stone starship?
We've lost contact with the away team, Captain.
Gunnery officer, open fire! Blow that thing to rubble!
We can't, Captain. It's got one of the most powerful force shields I've ever seen. We don't have anything that'll breach it.
Fire on it anyway. It's got to have a weak spot.
I wouldn't put money on it.
And then the castle shimmered and was gone into hyperspace. And there was nothing left to look at on the view screen but space. Damn.
Yeah. The Empress is not going to be pleased, is she?
Silent sat back in his command chair and made himself think calmly. They might think they've gotten away, but it's not over yet. After all, we know where they're going. Down in Wormboy Hell. Finley Campbell fled for his life, hunted and harried, and the pack came after him, snapping at his heels. He was the Campbell now, last scion of a butchered line, and the wolves came after him, merciless and determined. He guided the stolen gravity sled between the narrow towers of the city center, whipping past mirrored windows at incredible speeds. Adrienne lay on the deck behind him, awash with blood, curled around the wide, awful wound in her gut that was slowly killing her. The rushing wind blew tears from Finley's eyes, and he wished he'd taken the time to steal some goggles along with the sled, but there'd been no time. No time at all. It had been a long time since he'd last flown a gravity sled, but old memories and skills were already coming back. He swung the sled round in a sudden sharp arc, bracing himself against the pull of gravity, using the updrafts and thermals that came and went between the high towers. He looped around, gunning the motor, and found himself above a single wolf sled that had made the mistake of speeding just a little too far ahead of the pack. Finley's mouth stretched in a humorless smile, a savage death's head grin that was usually hidden behind the steel helm of the masked gladiator. None of his family would have recognized him at that moment, but they would have been forced to admit it didn't look out of place on him. He moved in close behind the desperately bucking and weaving sled before him, and activated his sled's weapons. Twin disruptor beams tore into the rear of the wolf sled. The heavy steel shielding blew apart in a shower of sparks and jagged fragments, and the wolves screamed as their engines suddenly cut out. The sled dropped like a stone to the ground far below, and the occupants screamed all the way down. Finley sped on through the forest of steel and glass towers, confident the remaining wolves would keep their distance for a while. Time was on their side, and they could afford to wait for the best advantage. Finley smiled suddenly, and his hands moved over the control panels with new confidence. Tower Shrek wasn't far, and Evangeline had an apartment there. He was reluctant to involve his secret love in his troubles, but he didn't have any choice. Adrienne was dying, and Evangeline had a regeneration machine in her apartment. He'd given it to her some time ago, and she kept it hidden for him, in case he ever needed it, in an emergency. No one would think to look for it there, because no one knew about him and Evangeline. No one could ever know. Whatever happened, she had to be protected. He scowled unhappily as he realized what that meant. He would have to kill or shake off all his pursuers before he could head for Tower Shrek. But on the other hand, Adrienne's time was running out. If he didn't get her help soon, it would be too late. He swore dispassionately. He couldn't do it alone, and there was only one person he could think of who might help him. Someone who had every reason to hate his guts. He patched into the sled's comm unit through his implant and entered a number he hadn't thought to use again anytime soon.
This is Finley Campbell, last survivor of the first rank of the family. I invoke clan loyalty, blood to blood. Can you hear me, Robert?
There was a long pause, and then a dry voice was suddenly in his ear.
This is Robert, and you've chosen a hell of a time to get in touch.
I'm sorry. I know you're still in mourning over Letitia.
Mourning be damned! I haven't got the time anymore. Everything's gone to hell here. The whole family's under attack. Wolves and Campbells are fighting it out in the streets, down to the most remote cousins. I'm barricaded in my own home. The Wolves have declared full vendetta, a death sentence on every Campbell, down to the last man, woman, and child. They're firebombing our businesses, attacking our houses. I'm trying to put together some kind of resistance, but they caught us with our pants down and tangled round our ankles. Luckily, I made some friends in the military, and they're helping out. The authorities are just standing back and watching. They won't get involved in family quarrels. Bottom line, we're outnumbered, caught unprepared, and a lot of us are dead. What's your position, Finley? And who's the Campbell now?
Currently, I'm running for my life on a stolen gravity sled. The Wolf's right behind me, yelling for blood. I'm the Campbell now, if anyone is. All the others are dead. Any chance your people could help, if I could get to you?
Negative. We're surrounded on all sides. You're on your own, Finley.
Nothing changes. All right, listen to me. I've got Adrienne with me, and she's badly hurt. I'm taking her to Tower Shrek. I know someone there who'll help her. Don't ask questions, there isn't time. I'm going to leave Adrienne there with Evangeline Shrek and then go to ground. With me gone, the last of the first rank, you should be able to sue for peace. The Empress won't allow a full vendetta for long. She doesn't want any single family getting that powerful. In the meantime, I need you and your people to break out, get to Tower Shrek, and protect Adrienne until she's ready to leave. I know that's asking a lot, but I'm not asking for myself. Will you come?
I'll try. She was good to me. Can we expect much help from the Shreks?
I very much doubt it.
Don't want much, do you? Where are you going?
Damned if I know. Going to find a hole and pull it in after me. I'll have to disappear for a while. That means you'll be the Campbell. I don't know what kind of a family you'll be heading after the dust has settled, but remember, do whatever you have to do to protect and preserve the clan. Make a deal with the Wolves. Promise them anything. There'll be time for revenge later.
I'll do what I can. Ironic, isn't it? Me, as the Campbell. After what happened at the wedding, I was ready to divorce myself from the family, take a new name, and give my life entirely to the military. But I can't do that now, can I? There are too many people who are going to be depending on me. The family has me in its bloody clutch again. All right, Finley. I'll talk to some of my friends in the military, see if they can get me safe passage through the chaos in the streets. I'll be there as soon as I can.
Finley's implant went dead. Not as much help as he'd hoped, but more than he'd expected, or had any right to. The family had not treated Robert well. Finley smiled slightly. Hopefully, Robert would treat the family rather better now that he was the Campbell. He looked over the sled's control panels, and then looked away. Satisfied, he was still squeezing every ounce of speed he could out of the straining motor. He knew he couldn't keep this up for long. Gravity sleds weren't designed with this kind of abuse in mind. He shrugged mentally. Either the sled would hold together, or it wouldn't. It was out of his hands, and he couldn't afford to worry about it anymore. He had to think. So, if he could just get Adrienne safely to Evangeline at Tower Shrek, he might find a way out of this mess yet. He glanced back over his shoulder. The wolf sleds were still hanging back, wary of him. They were easily within disruptor range, but at the speeds they were all traveling now, the chances of a hit were extremely low. And besides, if they missed, the odds were they'd end up slaughtering innocents in some nearby tower. and the claims for damages from the wounded families would be enormous. Even so, the wolves wouldn't hold off much longer for fear of losing him, and there was no way they'd leave him alone till he reached Tower Shrek. Finley grimaced unhappily. He had to deal with them now, while he still had the advantage of surprise, and he had to make it quick for Adrienne's sake. He'd already decided what he was going to do while he was talking to Robert. It was risky and dangerous and depended far too much on luck and bluff, but it was all he had. He bent over the controls before he could talk himself out of it, and turned the gravity sled around in a tight arc and sent it hammering toward the steel and glass face of the nearest tower. He braced himself as the wall loomed up before him like a great gleaming flyswatter. Beyond the illuminated windows, he could see people jumping to their feet and pointing. Some turned to run. Finley drew his gun and fired at the growing expanse of window. The heavy steel glass shattered as the energy beam tore through it, blasting lethal fragments through the office space beyond. People fell, spurting blood, and did not rise again. Finley didn't have time to care. They were innocents, but they weren't family. He steered the sled through the great jagged opening in the tower face, then hit the brakes for all he was worth. The sled shuddered to a halt halfway across the long office floor, almost throwing Finley off. He hung on desperately. Adrienne's unconscious form rolled forward to press against the backs of his legs. He leaned on the controls for a moment to get his breath back. His arms and legs were shaking from shock and reaction, and he ran through the calming chants the previous masked gladiator had taught him. In the arena, control was everything. People were crying and screaming all around him, but as yet there was no sign of any security guards. He turned the sled around so that it was facing toward the gaping hole in the window. The wolf sleds had slowed to a halt well back from the shattered window and were hovering outside the tower, watching cautiously to see what he'd do next. They didn't seem too worried. After all, there was nowhere he could go now. He'd trapped himself. Finley's death's head grin stretched across his face again as he reached down into the top of his boot and drew out the small slab of explosive he carried there. Ever since he became the masked gladiator and acquired so many enemies, he'd always known that someday his true identity might be revealed, and he'd have to fight his way out of an impossible situation. Hence the explosive for a last resort. Finley had always believed in being prepared, in and out of the arena. He slipped the explosive into his belt, where he could get at it easily, and grinned out at the wolf sleds, daring them to come in after him. After all, he was only Finley Campbell, the notorious fop. What could he know about tactics and traps? The wolves held a brief conference, and then one sled nosed slowly forward. They knew it had to be a trap, but they couldn't see how. Finley grinned till his cheeks ached.
Keep coming, you bastards. Just a little closer.
The sled drifted in through the break in the window, giving the jagged shards plenty of room, and then moved on into the office. Finley hit the controls, and his sled jumped forward. The wolves fired their sled's disruptors, but Finley's sled was already upon them. The two hulls slammed together, sending the wolves staggering. Finley had braced himself, and his hand was perfectly steady as he raised his gun and shot the wolf pilot. The energy beam tore right through the wolf's chest and threw his burning body over the side of the sled. The remaining wolves grabbed for their guns, but Finley had already jumped onto their sled and was among them, sword in hand. He cut and hacked with his blade, trading skill for speed, and blood flew in the air. The wolves couldn't fire for fear of hitting each other, and there wasn't room or time to draw their swords. They fought back desperately anyway, but they'd been caught unprepared, and he was the masked gladiator. They never stood a chance. Finley cut down the last man with cold efficiency, kicked the body over the side, and then sheathed his sword. The wolves on the other sleds were rushing forward, shouting their anger and outrage. Disruptor Bolt shot past him. He grabbed the slab of explosive from his belt, slapped it against the deck of the sled so it would stick, and activated the timer built into it for a 20-second fuse. Then he turned the wolf sled around and sent it back toward the approaching craft. 15. He timed his moment carefully and then jumped off. 10. He hit the floor hard and rolled behind a heavy desk. 5. The sled slammed into the midst of the wolves and blew apart in a gush of flames. The other sleds exploded as their drives ruptured, and for a long moment, the office was full of jagged metal shrapnel raining down, interspersed with wet, soft parts of what had once been their crew. A fireball blazed briefly in the confined space, but quickly ran out of air and collapsed.